G'day and welcome to the Oceanic Gaming Radio Podcast. That's OGR. My name's Cap El Capitano, Captain Perth. You can call me Liam. And alongside me is my dear friend, Mr. Timbo Rimbo, Grizzly Gaming 86. How are you, brother?
Howdy, Capo. And big clap to Pav, nailed the intro song. There's none of it cut
Pav
off.
Pav absolutely got the entirety of the theme song in this week.
Exactly. Look, right.
Not all heroes wear capes, guys. Just yet, please.
It's going to be nice to receive a little less hate mail this week for missing the thing. Yep. So thanks a lot, Pav. Excellent.
What about yourself, mate? How are you? I haven't had a good chat with you since, but I hear you went down south and had a little getaway.
We did. We had a little gallivant down south. What happened was me and my wife were dining in a restaurant recently, and she had an allergic reaction to something they got served. She's anaphylactic, so we ended up going into hospital. Thankfully, she's fine. But we just sent them an email just to say, look, so you know, like this happened, in case, you know, you need to change your processes or whatever, because it's quite important, obviously, to ensure that all your cooking processes are, you know, accounting for all that kind of
shit. Were you not in the restaurant anymore when it happened? Like, were you already out of the
restaurant? No, we were in the restaurant, and Mia was like, I need to go home. And I was like, okay. And so we went straight home, and then she was... and then
didn't
we rang
pay the bill? Fuck it, I'm out of here.
No, well, we had already paid, but we didn't get to eat the food, which was fucked. But, anyways, we called our mate who's a doctor, and he was like, oh, okay, give her an EpiPen immediately, call an ambulance. So did both of those things and ended up staying in hospital for about 5 hours, which was
brutal.
Man,
it's serious business, hey? Like,
oh, yeah, so they don't fuck around, dude. Mm. Yeah, it was pretty fucking scary. So, look, basically we sent them an email just to say, look, this has happened. And they're like, they're super awesome about it. They're like, oh, we're so sorry, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just want to offer you 2 nights down south of Perth in some cabins near our south restaurant.
That's
and
so
a free
sick,
restaurant
dude.
Lunch. And so we got 2 nights away, and we ended up taking a day off, 2 days off either side of the Saturday and Sunday, stayed with my nana down south of Perth, and then went and saw my auntie and uncle who own a farm in that region as well. Stayed in Denmark, which is south of Perth. And yeah, it was fucking awesome, dude.
That is the right way to do customer service like that.
Absolutely. That's but great, actually, bigger news than that, Grizzo, I've actually got something cool to tell you guys. Ooh. Is that we're expecting a little baby in October.
No, yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
Holy shit, man. Congratulations, bro.
Thanks, dude.
Holy crap. So hang on, what are we now? March, April, May, June, July, August. So you're already a good couple of months in there. It's a couple of months in.
Yeah, we're a few in. So,
oh, man.
Yeah, we've done all the preliminary shit and gotten all the confirmation. And, you know, we've seen the doctor a few times and had the scans and all the imagery's come out. And yeah, so it's all,
there you go.
Great guns. So, yeah, so we should be expecting a little bub in October, which is freaking rad.
Stoke week. Congratulations, mate. That's fucking huge news.
Yeah, Jesus. So it's good to be able to share that and not keeping that under my hat any longer, which
that
is
nice. Going to trump Pav's mystery box that he's got.
Yeah. This is sure. The surprise in my box is far less exciting.
But yeah, so we'll have to give the dad bod boys tell them to listen to the podcast to get the news.
Listen to the start of the podcast, get the news. I'm going to tell, dude, say the announcement is in the podcast. You've got to listen to the podcast to get the announcement. That's the go.
Absolutely. But yeah, so that's pretty exciting shit, basically. So, but yeah, also had a really great weekend away. So it's been pretty full on. Mia's been really sick.
Touch base with me outside of this, because my wife also had hypernemesis. This was all three of ours, which was like morning sickness fucking times a million. So vomiting like 15, 16 times a day. She lost 9 kilos with both of our last two around there. Yeah. And I had to go admitted to hospital. But anyway, there's some pretty good meds you can get that sort you out. So hit me up, mate.
Absolutely.
What a yarn about that for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but what about you, mate? Yeah. What's been happening?
Well, in far less exciting news, I do have a funny story to tell you, dude. I do have a funny story to tell you. So those of you who might know that Cap and I have been gymming quite regularly, quite hard.
Yes.
And I'm about, what are we? I feel like I'm about two and a half months in now, Cap. And we quite often, me and Cap quite often send each other like little messages saying like of our PBs. So if I like get a PB on the bench, then I'll message Cap and I'll say, oh, dude, I lifted this on the bench today. Cap messaged me the other day with this fucking ridiculous leg press. It's like over 200 kilos or something on the leg press. So I went to the gym thinking, fuck, I'm going to bloody go and get it, get his PB on the leg press. And I went and fucking took this pre-workout. And I've never taken pre-workout before, and I was like absolutely buzzing, big time buzzing. Chris. And I loaded it up, and I got it on there. And I couldn't do anywhere near 200. I think I got like 180 or 170. But, dude, in the last month, I don't know if you're the same, Kat, but the muscle soreness after a workout is kind of starting to subside.
Yep, absolutely, dude. Yeah, well, I get very little these days, to be honest.
Not for me after this leg workout, dude.
Oh, really?
Two or three days I've been like crippled walking around the office, just like my bum muscles, dude. So, that's on you, man, for challenging
me. Hey, man, I didn't say compete with me, pal. That's on you. Oh, I'm glad you gave it a crack, mate. It's good fun, like just seeing those numbers go up over time. You know what I mean? Like, and that's absolutely what it's kept. It's almost like gamifying my workout in a sense, like that, aiming for a better score every time. Yep. You know, it's 100%. So good.
It's what lifting's. I reckon lifting's really good for that. Like at the moment, and I'm sure you're the same, but I'm hitting like a PB every session in the gym. I'm lifting, doing something or lifting something that was heavier than the last time I was in there. So it's cool. It's good. Dude. It's good, mate.
It's so bloody good. Other thing is, I've got a new PC being built this weekend. So I thought maybe probably a good time to go through the specs with you and everyone listening at home. So I'm pretty freaking excited about this. So I'll basically start from the top. We got a Gigabyte GeForce RTX 3080 12 gig. So the big boy.
There's a 10 gig that you can get, Cap, and there's a 12 gig. Is that right?
It's actually 11 gigs as well, I believe, on some cards. Okay. Yeah. So I believe what happened was when we've had this big silicon shortage, and I think a lot of the 3080s now, I might be wrong here, but this is what I heard, was that a lot of the 3080s had 12 gig to begin with, but to try and get around a lot of the silicon shortage, they started equipping them with 10 gig.
Is that right? Okay.
That's what I understand. But again, I've been known to be wrong.
I've definitely seen the 10 gig ones around more in what I've been seeing.
And actually, you'll see a lot of the 10 gig ones have that LHR thing on the name, which, I can't remember what it fucking means. LHR graphics cards. It's basically something that they implement, light hash rate. And it's used to deter Ethereum and cryptocurrency mining by limiting things on the card.
Are you serious? Do they work as good as a non-LHR?
From what I understand, because like with the mining stuff, it basically is just pushing the card to its absolute limits, and a lot of games don't really do that.
Yeah.
So you still get the most performance anyway. And if you're pushing your card to its absolute bare bones limit with gaming, goddamn.
I think I had a 1060. It was not my last graphics card, but the one before that. And I remember I was trying to run like 144 hertz and stuff, and it was pretty much running at its max temperature, 80 degrees. And I had like Afterburner and I had all these fans just to try to keep it cool. But yeah, they're definitely not designed to do that 100%.
Oh, dude, absolutely. But yeah, so we've got a 3080. I've just got a MSI motherboard. The cool thing about it, though, is it comes with Bluetooth, which I am so excited about.
So you told
just
me
for,
about
like, attaching
this,
stuff.
So talk me through this. Does this mean you can attach like Bluetooth headphones? And what about your like Bluetooth mouse and stuff like that? Is that
everything?
All...
can I don't have to have a dongle or anything. It can just all go through the antennas on the motherboard.
That is very cool. I wonder if that'll decrease latency, like an inbuilt, because it's in your motherboard.
That's a good point. I would think so, because it should theoretically be faster than the than the USB, than the, you know, whatever bus that takes the USB in. I would think that your Ethernet, because it essentially runs off, I guess, the network part of the board, and that would be faster, I would have thought. But, I mean, I don't know
what
for
about,
sure.
What about, has it got a USB-C port, Capo, the motherboard?
Yes.
Hey,
going
to be able to use
does,
that new webcam,
friend.
Baby.
Yeah, now I can use this webcam and not shit the bed every time I fucking use it, which is great. Mm. So also this motherboard is it supports DDR5 RAM, which is like the latest and greatest RAM. So I got a 32 gig kit of that, which has a 6,000 megahertz fucking monster. Big boys. So that's going to be some serious shit.
After you told me about the DDR5 RAM cap, I went and had a look at it. It works at double the speed of DDR4 RAM.
Yes.
Sorry, what is it called? Is it right? Speed? Is it speed? Is the speed the right word? It also uses
that'll less, clock or whatever they call
less,
it.
Less power as well. So hot damn, dude.
Yeah. Interestingly, I did see I was looking at it a little while ago, and people listening to this podcast right now that aren't into computers are going to be like, "What the fuck is this shit?" Look, we'll get through it in a second. But the DDR6, which is the next kind of gen of RAM coming out, apparently is going to be four times faster than DDR4.
Wow!
So double as fast, I guess.
I feel like we've been on DDR4 forever. I feel like it's been around for ages now.
Yep, and they're already looking at DDR6 after having DDR5. But I think that's still a little way off. But, yeah, so moving along, also got, just a 1,000-watt power supply just to pump everything. I'm running an i7 Alder Lake, which is the newer gen i7s. I kind of ummed and ahed about getting an i9 versus an i7, but I just couldn't justify the price, the value.
That's the 12th generation Intel CPU, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, 12th gen CPU. So I think the code name is Alder Lake, but just for what it was like something like a 6% increase in performance or something. And I was like, no, I'm good. It's not that good, which equates to like, benchmarking wise, it was like an extra anywhere between 0 to 8 FPS on some games. And I was just like, dude, I mean, it's already going to be running at like 280.
Now, tell me
FPS.
This, Cap. Tell me this. RGB case or non RGB case?
What do you RGB got? Case, my
RGB
friend.
RGB case, yeah.
I got an NZXT because I love those cases. And it's called the NZXT H510 Flow. And it is. Fucking sexy.
Do the flashing lights make it go faster?
Absolutely, dude. I mean, you've seen what happens to ambulances when they flash their lights. They go hell fucking fast. So, I mean, basic fucking logic, mate. So I bought some extra fans because I'm going to replace the fans that came with it with RGB fans. Yeah. And also my CPU cooler is an NZXT Kraken Z63, which is one of those ones that has a little temperature gauge on the middle and like all the fucking...
Cap, is that a water-cooled one, that one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. So AIU, which is one of those what do they call it? Stands for something. It's basically like a closed loop. So they fill it up with water and they close it all. It's all sealed. It never comes out and off you go.
So I run a little water-cooled unit and it's only a single fan, but hot day, it keeps my CPU so cool, man.
Yeah,
very
dude.
Good.
Absolutely.
Those, the Ryzen CPUs, man, especially those 7 series, they run hot.
Yes.
Yep. They run very hot.
I tell you
hot.
What though, Grizz, apparently, so I was doing some research these days, apparently the air coolers are out of control good.
Is that right?
Comparable with a single fan liquid cooler these days, if you
is
get some
right?
of the big dogs.
Okay.
But the only problem is they can be quite fucking heavy. So if you don't want a big piece of metal hanging off your motherboard, maybe not the best option, which I wasn't super keen on, like this big hunk of metal with this big fan. And I was like, nah. Firstly, looks like shit.
Yeah.
Secondly, this one's got an LCD screen.
What? Wait, when you say, because I know that some of them you can upload like GIFs and pictures and shit.
Oh, I don't think mine can do that. Oh, maybe it can. I don't know. I have to look into it.
I
did really
Beezy
want one of those
ones. A picture of his CPU, and it's, you know, that guy, there's a meme, and he's like doing the old thumbs up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Constantly going on the front of his CPU.
That's so fucking cool. The only thing I need to think about, Grizz, is I probably should put a little freaking thing inside my case, because that's what people do these days, right? They put a little.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys can see here, but I've got an earth shaker. I've got a little earth shaker in my case from
Dota 2 earth shaker.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I'm just trying to think what I should get. I don't know. I have to think about it. Something fucking cool.
Pav knows.
Pav's got an idea.
You could put your kid in there to keep him nice and warm, mate.
Yeah, who needs a freaking pram or anything, mate? Yeah, just go in there.
I was going to say you should chuck your going merry in there.
Oh, that's a fucking good idea, actually. I might actually do that because I need to build the other one. I've got two one-piece ships to build that my good mate Dano got me. Yeah, so I've got one that I built, and I still need to build the other one. So maybe I'll build the other one and put that inside, which would be freaking rad. Mm. And then it'd just be covered in dust like everything else in this room.
We are 100% running out of time with these topics tonight, boys. Not gonna lie.
For sure. So moving along, Grizz, unless you've got anything else to add. I mean, that's basically my new computer, and I'll post some pictures on Twitter once I get it all up. I'm going to be building it this Saturday, so now, I'll flick some imagery out.
Really quickly, before we do move on, have you decided on your audio, your mic and bits and pieces that you're going to go?
Not yet.
Going to go XLR route? And
I will be going XLR. I will be going XLR because I'm not super stoked with my mic quality for the podcast, and I really like to pump it as best as it can. So my next big purchase, I mean, dude, this cost me almost $5,000. So yeah. I'm going to have to cool the jets a little bit. Also got a baby on the way. You know, maybe you want to save a little bit of cash for that. Yeah. Well, that's the other thing is like, I better buy it now whilst I still can. Yeah. Good, no, you seem to get away all right, mate.
Yeah, fuck me and my wife and really good money, and we don't save fuck all. So, I just buy shit. Yep.
Live for being a locum, mate. That's what I say. It's there to be spent, mate. You be a day. But yeah, all right. So moving along, Grizz. First cab off the rank. PlayStation, i.e. Sony, has announced its new variant of PlayStation Plus. It consists of three tiers, and they'll be all available. Are they available now? I don't even know. They're coming in June, I believe.
Yeah.
So what they've essentially done is for those of you at home who have no idea what we're talking about, PlayStation Plus is the it's like the online experience that you have to buy to participate online with PlayStation and stuff like that. Xbox has its own one. Which I think includes Game Pass these days. But so what they've ended up doing is they've included the PlayStation Plus with what was PlayStation Now and combined it into one service with different tiers that give you access to certain different things. Now, PlayStation Now, I believe, gave you access to streaming older games. So to just go through some of the stuff that is basically available. So you've got your PlayStation, so three tiers, PlayStation Plus Essential, which I guess is basically the easy buy-in. This is how you get access to the, you know, multiplayer and everything on the Sony PlayStation ecosystem. And this is, you know, you get your standard stuff that they've always gotten. So same benefits that PlayStation Plus members are getting today, such as 2 monthly downloadable games, exclusive discounts, cloud storage for safe games, online multiplayer access. There are no changes for existing PlayStation Plus members in this tier. Now, moving along, it looks like the pricing might have actually, it might actually be, I think it's probably about the same still. But we can talk about pricing towards the end once we get through the tiers. The next tier is PlayStation Plus Extra. Now, you'll get all the benefits of the previous tier, but it also adds a catalog of up to 400 of the most enjoyable PS4 and PS5 games, including blockbuster hits from our PlayStation Studios catalog and third-party partners. Games in the Extra tier are downloadable to play, so you don't have to have the disc, obviously, which would make a lot of sense because why would you have the fucking disc of a game that you want to download? Makes no sense. Anyways, moving along. So that's the PlayStation Plus Extra, so the middle tier. And so I'm just going to give you an idea. The first tier is $9.99 USD monthly. Second tier is going to be $14.99 USD monthly. Now the third tier, PlayStation Plus Premium, that provides all of the shit of the earlier tiers that we just spoke about, adds another 340 additional games, including PS3 games available to play via cloud streaming, and a catalog of beloved classic games available in both streaming and download options from the original PlayStation, PS2, and PSP generations. Cloud streaming access is offered for original PlayStation, PS2, PSP, and PS4 games. How's that? Okay. I think you can basically stream the older gen games as well. And you also get time-limited game trials for that tier as well. And that tier is $17.99 monthly. So the tiers, again, are $9.99 monthly for the first tier, $14.99 for the middle tier, and $17.99 USD monthly for the third tier. Grizz.
Yes,
are you excited?
Mate. kind of. There's a few things I want to point out in this. The first one, which we know is an ongoing thing. So essentially, PlayStation have made it very obvious that they have issues emulating PlayStation 3 games. They have issues bringing them to any other console that's not the PlayStation 3. They couldn't bring them to PlayStation. There was no backwards compatibility in the PlayStation 4 for PlayStation 3 games. Same with PlayStation 4.
Now, the reason for that was it was the problem with the architecture of the PS3. And it was something to do with, I think they called it core computing or some shit. And it was just the way that it is very difficult to emulate because they use some funky, fresh, weird indie shit that they thought was really cool at the time and no one picked it up, basically.
Interrupt you. This has resulted in the PS3 games you can only get via cloud streaming as part of that premium service. And Cap, I didn't know if you have read this yet, but the premium service is not available in New Zealand or Australia. We are offered an alternative, which is called Deluxe, which is essentially, it's what premium is, except we don't get the streaming components, cloud streaming.
Which essentially
components.
Means we don't get the PS3 games.
That's exactly right. So we're going to miss out on the PS3 games. Apparently it's going to be reflected in the price.
Which hasn't been announced yet, by the way. It just says local pricing may vary by market. I was discussing this with some mates last night when this news came out, and it is a bit of a shame. But I think what we'll probably also talk about shortly is just the CEO of Sony, Jim Ryan, and just sort of what he has talked about in light of this new subscription service, specifically how he feels about bringing new releases timed to a service like this. We'll talk about that in a second. But I think this is just the way Sony does things, right? Microsoft has been very generous, I think, with what they have to offer. And I think the reason they've done that is because I honestly think they were losing the race. And it's always been an Xbox versus PlayStation race, right?
Yeah.
And some people might argue against that, whatever you think. But I genuinely believe that I think they felt like they were losing the race, and that's why they brought Game Pass on. Now, if you compare what sort of AAA games Microsoft has to offer in comparison to Sony, it's night and day. I mean, how many play Microsoft exclusive games can you name, Grizz, apart from Halo?
What was that one with the dragon? Spyro. Is that wait.
And that came out on Sony first. So there you go. But that's what I'm trying to say is, like, I feel like Microsoft has had to put its money where its mouth is and really fucking, you know, do something special with its Game Pass to kind of set itself aside. Now Sony,
I don't know whether you said this yet, Cap, but I'll just quickly chime in here and say, so just so people know, under the Game Pass, Xbox, Microsoft Game Pass, all of the new releases, like I'm talking day one releases, get released on the Game Pass. You can literally go and play it.
Now, from what I understand with this media release for Sony, they're not doing that. Now, I think one big thing, a lot of people are going to immediately compare this with the Xbox Game Pass. And that's fair because they're similar services. But I don't think this is what Sony's trying to do. I think they're trying to give you more value with your subscription, but I don't think they're outwardly trying to compete with something like Game Pass, which is going to be doing stuff like that.
So now, I've got a statement here, Capo. I've got a quote. And you've
is that from
got
Jimbo
this.
Ryan?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, go for it. I'll read it out to you. And this paints a pretty clear picture why Sony aren't going to release their first party. So he said, in terms of putting our games into this service or any of our services upon release, as you well know, it is not a road that we've gone down in the past, Ryan said. And it's not the road that we're going to go down in this service. We feel that if we do that to our games, we make at PlayStation Studios, that various virtuous cycles will be broken. The level of investment that we make into our studios would not be possible. And we think the knock-on effects to the quality of our games that we make would not be something that gamers want. So essentially they're saying if we release our games onto this Game Pass, then you're going to lose the value in your studios and I guess the value and the creative process, the way that games made and their release and everything else.
Yeah, I think in all honesty, I fully expected this Game Pass to be literally exactly what they've announced today. I think a lot of people had high hopes that they thought, oh, okay, well, hopefully, you know, God of War Ragnarok's going to be on this sick, pricing scheme and I can just spend $10 and get God of War Ragnarok when it releases. But of course I'm not going to do that because Sony makes way too much money off its IPs by selling them at $90 a pop and people will still buy them and they will still get that subscription service and be able to make that cash. There's no incentive there for them to bundle it all in. But I think Jim Ryan paints a pretty good picture of why this is an important topic is because, you know, he says, another part of that conversation, he said, we feel like we are in a good virtuous cycle with the studios that they have under their wing, where the investment delivers success, which enables yet more investment, which delivers yet more success and vice versa. Yeah. So I think ultimately, basically what he's saying is like, he doesn't want to undersell their product and then it lead to a quality problem because
The we money's can't not pay there you guys anymore. Because you know you've got lots of people playing your game but you haven't sold 40 million copies or 12 million
exactly.
Elden Ring for example 12 million copies 12 million people might be playing it on Game Pass but it's different to selling 12 million copies on release
of absolutely
a $80 game 100%
I think for some developers like it's nice having the best of both worlds for something like this, right? Because, you know, for example, if you're an indie, right, and you do create a game that sells to the amount that something like Elden Ring has sold recently, you know, that's huge.
Oh.
And for you to have access to that, that's really fucking huge. Stardew Valley
was one bloke. And I would. Someone maybe can go look that up, how many copies of Stardew Valley have been sold, but it's ridiculous.
Same with Undertale, dude. Think about Undertale, same thing. You know, Toby Fox, the game developer of that game, like just absolute overnight hit and it just went huge. So, you know, it's good that obviously that's an option for people. And there's also the option of people putting their games onto Game Pass, you know, and maybe they don't sell as much as those, but
yeah, instead, I'm sure there would be people out there and devs out there that would probably request maybe for their game to go on
absolutely.
Game Pass.
Yeah.
There would still be monetary value in that for sure.
Yeah. And I mean, you're probably better off financially having this constant stream of income because your games are being licensed for these services. Rather than just having this kind of, you know, real big peak when your game first releases and then it dropping straight off the back end because, you know, everyone wants to play the new game, right? And then over time, well, I mean, it depends on what kind of game it is, obviously. You know, that's a generalist kind of thing that I've said. But for most games, especially single-player games, you're going to have this massive rate in sales and then it's going to drop off over time and then stagnate a little bit. So if you've got something and access to something like this, amazing. But I actually really support what Sony are doing. I think they're just basically giving us more value for, you know, and giving us more access to stuff with our subscription. Obviously, we pay more for it, you know, depending on what tier you go. But hey, you know.
So I want to have my little whinge here, though, Cap. Why three tiers? I just think when you read through it, in my personal perspective on this, is that it's way too fucking convoluted having three tiers like that. Like,
I'll tell you why they did it, because they were never going to bundle a cloud streaming service in the lower tiers and make you pay the same amount for it.
So why not bang some of the PlayStation 2 and the downloadable games into the second tier and just have the third tier? Because right now it's like we're going to give you, like, okay, you get the first tier and you get two games downloadable. Then we're going to give you a bunch of games under this tier and then a bunch of games. It's all like there's so many different little facets and little dot points under there that it's actually, for me, it took me about 5 or 6 reads of this to get the picture of what they're actually selling us in these tiers.
Look, I definitely agree. It's pretty complex. Maybe not for us who are gamers and know what to expect from stuff like this and have obviously had our finger on the pulse for a while on news and stuff. But I'm sure, like, you know, mum down the road that's got two kids and kids just want to fucking play PS2 games from the old era, she's going to have no fucking idea what this means.
No, that's exactly it. Mate.
And
that's
you're right. Exactly the tears are a little bit all over the shop, but I just think, like, looking at this from a business point of view, they basically didn't want to change PlayStation Plus all that much for those who just want the simple buy-in, basic shit. You know, you get a little bit of sprinkling, a little bit of sugar on top. Here's your couple of extra games and your shit, multiplayer online, cloud storage, whatever else, all the stuff you've always had. Here's that again. Now, here's a little bit more sprinkling on top. Here's the wafer, right? And we're going to give you all your PS fucking whatever games from the old gens that we can't emulate on your console because apparently we don't have anyone smart enough to figure out how to fucking emulate PS3. But what we're going to do is we're going to give you that as an added bonus, and that's only going to be an extra $5. How good is that? And then, because what happens after that is once you have to start doing cloud computing, dude, the prices go up for Sony, right? So they're going to have people, they're going to have another tier for that. And I mean, this is just how I'd imagine it from a business standpoint. And so that's an extra, I mean, what's that? That's $17.99. So that's an extra $3, which, you know, doesn't seem like much, but over multiple subscriptions, that's going to help them pay for all the infrastructure that they're using to run these fucking PS3 games that are probably being run on these these fucking PS3s that are just all hooked up to.
Do you reckon they've got physical PS3s hooked up?
Dude, I have no idea what they are doing for that.
They're saying they can't emulate this shit, and apparently PS3 games emulate really bad on PC as well.
Yeah, they do.
I honestly reckon they've got physical PS3s hooked up to
They must do, dude. Imagine you being the smart motherfucker that invented the PS3 and you've basically created yourself a job for fucking life because you've managed to create this insanely archaic, weird computing system, and now Sony has to keep rehiring you every year to keep these fucking PS3s alive in their cloud computing.
Shit, we've lost one. What if they start dying, mate? They're going to have to, like...
They'll just scrap PS3s
off the thing. Cap, one other thing that I don't know if you've looked at or noticed this yet, but the pricing, dude, between the monthly, quarterly, and yearly pricing is pure insanity.
Yes.
Like the amount of money you save. So we'll just look at the essentials for a starter. But so it's the essentials is either $9.99 monthly, $24.99 quarterly, or $60 yearly. So you're a mathematician here, Cap, but there is a what are you saving, dude? If you pay per month, you're going to pay $120. If you're paying monthly, you're literally paying half the price if you pay for a yearly subscription.
Literally paying half. Yeah, which I think is an interesting kind of thing to do for Sony, because do you know what, I would totally support them doing this if they included first-party games that came out on the thing. Because, yeah, you want to try and sting people for buying the month and then being like, now I'm going to drop off until another game comes out, right? So that's an understandable business decision. Yeah. But there's no reason to do that anymore, right? Because at the end of the day, it's just fucking like old catalog games in here.
Yeah.
You know, it's nothing special.
Dude, I remember when Xbox Game Pass first released, I got the free month just to play Star Wars. What's it called? The Star Wars Dark Souls game.
Oh, yep.
It was like $1 for a month. You know, Fallen Order.
Fallen Order. That's the one.
Yeah. So I got it just to play that. And then I didn't renew it till later down the track. Until I have a Game Pass now for Sea of Thieves or whatever else that I haven't played much on it, but I have it. But so maybe, do you think they're worried about people, like, just getting a monthly to play a game?
Yep, I think so for sure. Yeah, they're just going to jump in really quickly, play that game for a little bit. And this is just how, because now you have this conversation that we're having right now. You go, dude, it's just so much better value to just buy a year. Fuck it, I'll just buy a year. And so they do. Yeah. And they get more money out of you. You know, and you probably only play it for fucking 3 days or something. You'd be like, oh, I really want to play Ape Escape. And then you play Ape Escape for, I don't know, a few hours. Oh, no, we've lost Grizz. That's all right. He'll be back shortly. But yeah, you'll play Ape Escape for about, I don't know, 2 hours, and then you'll be like, okay, well, I'm not too interested in playing Ape Escape anymore. I guess I just don't use my tier 2 Game Pass any longer. Welcome back, Grizzly. we can hear you.
I'm going to need to clear my cache or something, eh? Because it just like does that little thing where it like says little man comes up and just,
oh, yes.
I don't know.
Anyway, it's well bad in my computer.
I was about to say this, Cap. Like, okay, this is exactly what it is. It's basically bulk buying, right? I'm a massive fan of bulk buying. I bulk buy my dishwasher tablets because it's really annoying when you run out.
Dude, I do the same with my dishwashing, my laundry liquid.
Yeah, there you go. So you may as well bulk buy your PlayStation Plus. As long as you're going to play stuff on it, it's pretty good value.
Well, that's the thing. I think it's like, I actually think it's really, really sneaky. To be honest, from a business standpoint, because I think they're going to get a lot of people just go, fuck it. I've got a spare $60 laying around. Yeah, of course I'll buy that. Versus them paying for 2 or 3 months and then just being like, okay, I'm going to jump off this now. And they've only spent $30 to that point, right? So, you know, it's just a smart business decision, I think, overall. But I do think it's cheeky and I do feel like it would be more warranted if they had first-party titles. But, hey, this is just how Sony does things.
As a takeaway here, Cap, I think that this is definitely a step up from where PlayStation were.
Absolutely.
In terms of their subscription service, it's good that they've now bundled PS Now in there. I mean, I must admit, before you telling me what PS Now did, I actually had no idea what PS Now did. So, I think that's
really the thing. I think what they've done is they've done a good job of unifying their services because it was segmented and people didn't know some services existed and didn't know what it was for. So I think they've done a decent job. Obviously the tier system, I think for some people is going to be confusing and that's just, the big thing is though, Grizz, I must say, not many people outside of gaming circles are going to read a PlayStation blog and get hyped up about a fucking subscription service. So, once they get the marketing material out and they actually market this properly, it's going to be fine.
Well, they haven't even started talking about the games they're going to release.
Exactly. That's another thing. So they say that there's, 400 games for the mid-tier, 340 games for the second tier. That's another reason why I'm kind of just like, I'm not super excited because, I don't even know what the fuck's going to be on this thing.
Dude, if there's, I wonder if, I'm interested to know how they do this, right? Because obviously the first-party releases, maybe after a certain period of time, might get rotated into the games that are on there. So,
look, I would expect that to be the case because they have said that they're going to be refreshing the catalogue over time.
Put it this way, Cap, right? If you're about to release God of War Ragnarok, right, to build hype around that game for when it releases, it would be a really smart business decision to chuck God of War on the PlayStation Pass to allow people to go and play that game before jumping in and buying Ragnarok. And I'm sure they will do stuff like that,
Well, do you know what I reckon will happen? So they're talking about time-limited game trials. So for the premium tier, dude, they'll 100% just have, 2 hours worth of Ragnarok you can play, and if you want to buy it, you can buy it at this cheaper price because you're a Mad Dog member. Yeah. I'm sure that that's how they'll probably do a lot of this shit. It'll just be – and the thing is, also on top of this, Grizz, is this is a brand new service, right? So they need time to, build up the catalog, give it time to kind of figure out what does and doesn't work, I guess. But, once they get into the swing of things, I'm sure that, their offerings will be pretty decent. I suppose the big thing to take away from this isn't Game Pass.
It's not a competitor for Game Pass right now, is it, Cap?
No.
It was one of my takeaways.
Because I don't think, just based on the way that they've kind of worded things, I can't see them doing, for example, monthly updates to the catalog like Game Pass does, or even updates and additions to the Game Pass as often as because Microsoft has stuff coming out all the time and added to Game Pass, whereas this I cannot see that happening.
The way that PlayStation have kind of worded this blog as well, Cap, is pretty, it's obviously very well thought out, but essentially they've kind of gone, we're too good to be releasing our first party titles. We have a lot of respect.
Do you know what? I agree with them. They are too good to be releasing them. And I totally wouldn't be fucking doing that. If it was me, I'd be like, fuck you all. You're going to pay for this shit full price, motherfucker. Yeah. I put heaps of work into this.
They're like,
how dare you suggest.
We respect our developers enough that we don't need to do that. But here you go. We will include this backlog of games into this tier system. And I don't think they have directly tried to compete with the Xbox Game Pass. Let's be honest. Xbox Game Pass
gives you
access to those games on your PC, on your Xbox. Obviously done really well. What they've done is they've gone, let's make our subscription service a little bit better than what it is. and grab PlayStation and our PS Plus, chuck them together in a tiered system, and you get games similar to Xbox Game Pass, but the PlayStation version of that, where we kind of retain some of our boundaries and bits and pieces.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, Deb in the chat's brought up a good point. Mainly wondering if the amount of games they said is an estimate, or if we'll actually get those that many games at launch. And if you look at the wording of this stuff, it says adds a catalog of up to 400 of the most enjoyable PS4, PS5 games. Okay. And it says the same for the other tier as well. So it's probably going to be the kind of thing where maybe we don't even get that full amount of games on launch. It might be a staggered thing as they, you know, get what's the word? Compatibility and all that kind of shit worked out for some of these games. I don't know. It's early days, Grizz, but I think, look, step in the right direction. I think for what it is, just remember this isn't Game Pass. This is PlayStation Plus. And I think, I'm interested to see the marketing material that they put out that isn't a blog post, because obviously a blog post is targeted towards people who know what they're talking about. So,
also, Cap, as a fucking takeaway, can like we rise up and fight our government for decent internet? Because I feel like that is the only reason why we're not getting this premium tier.
Yeah. That is 100% the only reason why we will not be getting it. And I this is another thing I chatted with my mates last night about, and including Deb, who's in the chat. Here in Australia, we have really shoddy internet infrastructure, and there was a point in time where we were going to fix that, and then the government at the time basically rescinded it and went with shitter technology. Now that has been biting us on the ass ever since we did it. It was a huge fucking blunder. And interestingly though, we are uniquely positioned in the Asia Pacific to host good data centers, because we're on like good regionally we're in a good spot, so we can host these data centers, and it's a good way to sort of spread out data, you know, across the world and centralize stuff. The problem is a lot of Australian consumers don't have access to a decent internet connection. I mean, look at you, Grizz. Like, you were struggling with your ISP for all that fucking time.
God, mate.
You know, so
packet loss was unbearable. And just to really quickly say what our issue is, just because people might know about internet, but essentially we've got from the house to the roadside, we still have copper wire from the house to the roadside, and then it's fiber from the roadside into the pit and whatever else. So you're like, got this great internet that runs on the roadside, and then when it's joined to the house, we're still running our internet through copper wire. It's absolutely backwards.
Yeah.
Unless you pay an arm and a leg like you, Cap, and get fiber to the premises.
Well, this house already had it, because my suburb was used as like a pilot region for the next gen NBN stuff, but then they ended up not going with it. So I got the good shit, and then everyone else didn't get fuck all. But one of my old houses, Grizz, we had terrible internet. And so I got the NBN guys, which is our national broadband network, to come out and replace the copper wire between the house and the pit in the front, at the front on the sidewalk. Mate, they were pulling out this copper cable that was wrapped in like Hessian cloth from the fucking 1800s. I kid you fucking not. I'm 100% serious. So that is the shit we are dealing with in this fucking country.
Yeah, no shit. And there's the ongoing thing. If you watch Australian streamers, right, at least half of them, when it rains, their internet turns to shit. And that is because their fucking copper wire is getting wet, mate. It's not insulated at all. It's got Hessian bags around it. It's absolutely ridiculous.
That is why we will not have streaming services like this for the longest time, because Sony probably, I mean, they would have a full bottle, they'd be full bottles on how much the streaming services for stuff like that NVIDIA service that popped out recently, and like the xCloud gaming service. They'd know what people would be what they'd be making here in Australia. And they just go, the Australian market just isn't fucking worth it. And the whole reason it's not worth it is because we have such shit infrastructure and it cannot handle these high network loads. You can basically blame the Australian government for that one. Liberal government, by the way, was good old Malcolm Turnbull. He was the communication minister at the time, and he obviously didn't even know how to fucking answer the phone, because everyone would have been telling him not to do it.
Capo.
Yeah, bloody knobhead. So anyways, PlayStation Plus coming in June. Also, quickly, Grizz. So they are saying here... So the two high tiers, at launch, we plan to include titles such as Death Stranding, God of War being the original one, not the second one, obviously.
And Returnal?
Returnal as well.
baby.
Mortal Kombat, Miles Morales, and a bunch of other shit. So, yeah. Look, I mean, they're going to have some pretty cool stuff in there, I'm guessing. But obviously, we have no idea what the fuck. I mean, that's what? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of the proposed 740 fucking games that they said are coming to this thing, and we know 6 of them. So, yeah.
Just quickly, Cap, while Returnal is coming out of your mouth, before your baby comes, I would like to play Returnal co-op with you because it looks fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I would like to play No Building Fortnite.
Yep.
And I would like at least 20 Dota sessions. Can I get a contract signed up?
Yeah. Let's lock that in, dude. It's going to be like my pre-baby bucket list. Oh, but yeah, that sounds good. All right. Moving along, Grizzo.
Yeah.
Now, I woke up this news. Wait, did I wake up to it or was it last night? I can't remember. I think it was.
Dude, such you were writing early on the thread this morning with this news. It was the first
actually was. I what time did I say? It was like 6 o'clock.
It was early.
Yeah. Either way, I think I woke up to it and a fucking little tear formed in the bottom of my tear duct in my left eye, and me was like, "What's wrong?" And I was like, "Yeah, Breath of the Wild 2 has been delayed again." And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's been delayed again. Initially, it was delayed, obviously, to this year, and now it's been delayed to spring of 2023. So how do you feel about that, Grizz?
So Kazi has probably only just woken up. I don't know whether he has seen this news. So, actually, Kazi doesn't like fucking Zelda anyway, so it's all good, mate.
He's going to be livid that I'm livid.
I would like to just quickly quote. So just those of you who don't know, essentially Nintendo released a video on their YouTube, which was basically an update from who was it that was talking, Cap? Is that
he's
like
the game director for the Legend of Zelda series. Okay. Yeah. So his name is, let me tell you, Eiji Aonuma. Yes.
So some of the wording he used here, which, and you know what, Cap, I have no issues in this at all. I mean, fuck, I could probably sink another that long into Elden Ring by the time this comes out. But essentially he was saying, in order to make this game experience something special, the entire development team is continuing to work diligently on this game. So please wait longer. Dude, Breath of the Wild is one of the highest rated games of all time. And
yeah.
Yeah. I'm stoked rather than trying to push something out and, I don't know, potentially under-deliver on what was a fantastic initial release.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they've got so much to live up to, dude.
Yeah.
So much. So
they also released a bit of game footage in here as well, didn't they, Cap?
They did. A little sneak peek. So obviously, I mean, we'd all be aware that, you know, there was a couple of Nintendo Directs this year already, and every Nintendo Direct has quite bleedingly obviously omitted anything on Breath of the Wild 2. So, I mean, to be honest, I saw this coming from a fucking mile away.
Did you really? Okay.
Oh, absolutely. I thought...
Dude, like, I must admit, I haven't really been following Breath of the Wild 2 as much.
Like, I suppose, they did say that they expected it to be coming out towards the end of this year, and I thought, shit... They've had 2 Nintendo Directs and they haven't said anything about Breath of the Wild. That game is not coming out this year at all.
Yeah.
And it hasn't. But look, I think ultimately, yeah, I think it's a good decision. They got a lot to fucking live up to. I'm sure Eiji Aonuma probably looked at Elden Ring and went, fucking hell, we have to really pump this one.
I was going to.
He was probably like, oh shit, we'll never get Game of the Year with that out. Fuck that.
Dude, I've seen so many memes going both ways. It's like, it's like Elden Ring. Thank God, Breath of the Wild 2 didn't come out so we can get Game of the Year, and then the other way around. Like, it could go either way.
Oh, dude,
there's some funny. Dude, apparently Kirby is fucking awesome. From what I've heard.
So I hear. And this is one thing that Nintendo make excellent games. Like all their first title IPs are exceptional games generally. They're pretty good at not missing the beat. And I think, you know, when they do pull a game back from release, because they're not happy with it yet. I think it's for a good reason. And generally they do capitalize on that time and manage to create something amazing. I know another game that has had a lot of issues is the next Metroid game. That's the 3D Metroid, which is...
Oh, so not Metroid Dread, a different one?
Dread. Okay. The 3D one, the next iteration of that. That was supposed to be coming out ages ago, but they removed the project and restarted afresh. So that's the kind of game development studio Nintendo is. They just, their IPs, they cherish so much and they want to ensure that they are perfect before they come out.
So polished. So just to touch on that, mate. Oh my God. The name of this is completely, the farming game that came out during the pandemic that everyone loved.
Animal Crossing.
Animal Crossing was delayed.
It was too.
Reasonably significantly. And yet that was, I would love to hear some stats on how many people played that during the pandemic and already saved their brains during that. Such a relaxing, beautiful game that everyone got around. And you know what, man, I'm not worried about Breath of the Wild 2 being delayed at all. I think a bit more time in the oven. And like you say, Cap, like Nintendo know exactly what they're doing on these releases, right?
Absolutely. Just let them captain their ship and I'm going to sit below deck until they're ready for me to surface, mate. And
baby.
I'll be banging the drum when I do. I'll tell you that much for free.
I'd be interested to know your opinion, Cap, on how they could fix this game over Breath of the Wild 1. Because I know that you had a couple little gripes with number one. Didn't quite hit that sweet spot for you.
In all honesty, don't get me wrong. And I've had this conversation, I'm pretty sure, on the podcast before. I loved Breath of the Wild. I thought it was brilliant. But I didn't think it was the best Legend of Zelda game I've ever played. I'm going to tell you that much. I think it was an excellent open world game. I think Nintendo did an incredible job. But I think there was a couple of things in Breath of the Wild that they missed the mark on. And for me, it was themed dungeons. All the major dungeons were kind of that same big animal that you go into and you know, fucking twist magnets and all kinds of shit. Whereas, you know, in the other games, you'd have the fire temple and the water temple and the, there was all these themed temples going on and they all have a special big boss at the end, whereas all the bosses in this were kind of iterations of the same kind of thing. So I'm hoping that now that they've got this base level kind of game, the engine and everything in place, now they can iterate on that and start taking it to that next level where they do go for these older themes and stuff that they've always had in these Legend of Zelda games. But in all honesty, I thought they did pretty well elsewhere. Like, I thought they did a really good job with NPCs. I thought they did a really good job with populating the world with fairly enjoyable experiences. Sometimes you play these open world games, dude, and it's just like, all right, there's another tower. All right, there's another fucking fortress I've got to go and do, you know.
I feel like when it came out, Cap, it was the best thing since Skyrim in terms of that open world. The open world was
built. It was definitely the next step, I think. And
well, it gave you vertical freedom, which was insane.
Absolutely.
So being able to fly around and stuff was just great for it.
Absolutely. But and I think it's one of those things where
quickly mention is you briefly touched on the physics engine that sits behind Breath of the Wild 1. And obviously they're going to be taking I would imagine pretty much the same physics engine across the Breath of the Wild 2 and maybe polishing it and making it a bit more fit for that game. But like that in itself made what was special for me about Breath of the Wild 1. Like, there was so many different ways to approach different little areas and sections through that physics engine being so complex. So I think, man, I am quite excited, man. I'm quite excited. Yeah. I hope they don't make breaking weapons. That's one thing.
Dude, I was just about to say that. It's like, I really hope they address that because, like, I kind of understand why they introduced something like that. And I think it was to kind of try and get you to use all the different weapons. And it was kind of like forcing you to experience the game in different ways. Maybe that, but not as egregious. Because, dude, it was like every 10 seconds, you're like, fuck, there goes my sword again. Fuck, there goes this fucking
stick. Dude, there's a clip of one of my early days from stream. I literally get my first metal sword and I'm sitting up atop of this tower. I'm trying to figure out the controls and I accidentally throw it off the edge of the top of this tower and like down into the ravine below. Just completely uncollectible. It's just like, well, I guess I'm going to use my wooden one or my wooden stick or whatever I had there ready to go.
One thing I hope they also address is like in Breath of the Wild, you know, when you got the Master Sword, you could basically use it once per, was it once per day or something, I think? Or
something
some
like
shit.
That, yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like that was kind of going to be like the, oh, now I've got an unbreakable sword moment. But they still didn't, I don't know. That's just one thing I just hope they address. Definitely,
you had to buy
definitely
the DLC to get an unbreakable, didn't you? Or something like that.
I don't know. Was there an unbreakable weapon in that game? I don't even know. I didn't play
the
DLC.
Master Sword ends up being unbreakable in the DLC, but I could be wrong. I haven't played it just from what I've read.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, I'm okay with weapon durability, but just not that weapon durability. That's, mate, have you ever used something metal and it instantly break? No. That doesn't happen, right?
How many monsters have you bonked with it, though, Cap?
Mate, I'll tell you right now, I reckon I could bonk a monster on the head with a spoon for way longer than he could with his fucking Master Sword. All right? So, get that one in you. Now, Grizz, have you had a bit of a look at some of the footage that they shared in this announcement?
I did. I watched the video right before we started. And, it looks like a lot more in the sky islands. And
yes, so they basically added even more verticality.
Which is fucking exciting, dude, isn't it?
Yeah.
I reckon that's cool.
It's going to be interesting to see how the story goes for, I guess, how things are put in the air. It might be maybe some kind of, so if we want to get into lore, it might be some kind of origin story maybe for like Skyward Sword or something, or related to how Sky, you know, because in Skyward Sword they all live on this like big rock that floats in the sky, and then they
do you really
fly
know Zelda lore, Cat?
I know a bit. Dude, I got the Hyrule Historia in here, mate.
So in Skyward
Dude,
Sword,
I've literally got Legend of Zelda tattoos. I need to know something about it. I can't just have tattoos and not know triangles. A little bit about the series. Yep. So, maybe it's an origin story. Who knows? It does look like there's a few new things which have already been discussed in previous footage releases. You see Link like kind of melding through, terrain and stuff like that. And it also looks like the Master Sword is pretty beaten up. I don't know if you've seen that, but it's almost like it's been melted.
Like melted. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that
you have to try and
reforge.
Like a scimitar or something. Looks kind of like a little bit.
Yeah, it's
nasty.
It looks like it's definitely seen better days, that's for sure. Mm. So I'm guessing that reforging the Master Sword is going to be part of your quest. I mean, that's almost a certainty. That's been, part of a lot of other Legend of Zelda quests. So I'm glad they released just a little bit of footage.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But look, ultimately I think overall, do what you're gonna do, Nintendo. You got the full reins going.
Surely,
Cap,
you've got
nail it.
200 hours of Elden Ring to play, surely.
Oh god, dude, I feel like that game's never gonna fucking end in a good way. I am loving the game, but the problem is the longer I play this game, the closer I keep coming to spoilers and shit. Because I'm pretty far through the game, but I'm just so worried I'm going to read something and be like, oh, for fuck's sakes. And I'm definitely in that region now where I just need to hurry up and fucking pull my finger out. But I'm trying to do a full completionist playthrough.
Dude, I am getting there, mate. So I have worked my way through the area I think you are in. I'm not going to spoil anything for you, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm basically avoiding going to what I think might be the end area by going and doing all the side quests and stuff around. Dude, but I've nearly got 100 hours in, so I think I'm just under you. But I'm level like 130, nearly level 140.
Oh, damn. Yeah, you've outpaced me now. Though I've had about 5 days off Elden Ring because of a weekend holiday and also just being shattered the last couple of days. So I'll probably get back into it tomorrow night or maybe a little bit after the podcast, but we'll see. But anyways, Breath of the Wild delayed, ladies and gentlemen. All right, moving along, Grizzo. We better pull our fucking fingers out.
We're getting the hurry up from Pav.
So Fortnite no building is now going to be a permanent fixture, Grizzo.
That's exactly right.
That is an excellent idea because building in that game mode is fucking shit and it's fucking stupid and I hate it and it's so dumb. It's the worst mechanic of all time.
So Kat, this is from the official Fortnite blog. Zero build mode is a pure test of weapon, item, and traversal ability. Zero Build can be found in the Discover page as solos, duos, trios, and squad playlists. Players can find the Discover page by clicking on the change button above the lobby. Now, this has, I don't know if you've seen Twitter or been on Twitch, but essentially, Cap, the no build mode was hugely successful. It bought
It was mentally successful. Oh,
so like Ninja came back and played it, Lupo, fucking Tim, like all those big content creators that used to play and grew off Fortnite back in the day came back and were playing it. And we're just giving it a lot of praise, saying that it brought back to a lot of that original feeling of the game. And I can kind of see where it came from, because I actually did a stream last weekend with Red Snow and others and I suffered packet loss. But I felt it. You have so much more control of a situation when you don't have someone that's just building fucking towers around you and up and down. Like, there really was a big skill difference between someone that could build and someone that couldn't. It just makes a much more even playing field. Yeah. But not only that, Cap, they introduced a couple of mechanics, mate. They introduced your ability to sprint. They used your ability to, if you hold your jump button, you could actually climb on top of houses. So the verticality of the game was still kind of there. You could still kind of like make your way up. And you would also have what they say is kind of like a halo shield, but essentially you would have an overshield. So if you get hit, you get a shield for 50. If you get hit and it goes all the way down, after about, I can't remember the exact time, but a certain amount of time, it'll recharge back up to 50. So it just basically means that you don't, when you get in a gunfight with someone, you don't get instantly gunned down if you have no shield. Because you can't build anymore and kind of protect yourself, you need to have some way to not get instantly bursted, I guess. So, man, I think this is a really good change for the game. I think it's a good option. I want to get you in it to play with me.
I'm actually quite looking forward to maxing it on my new PC and just giving it a thrash. I know that sounds stupid, but there's a few games
You're pretty good at shooters, mate, from memory.
Yeah, look, I'm not too bad. Do you know what? It was literally just the building in that game that just pissed me off, because you're right. It was like, I'm going to have to spend hours and hours and hours just becoming a building god to really compete on the same level. Like, you start shooting someone, then all of a sudden there's a fucking, you know, Taj Mahal in front of you, and you're like, well, fuck, okay, no worries.
Yeah, what do you
do? And they got 15 parapets, but everyone's shooting you out of these little turrets, and you're just like, okay, well, this is just stupid, mate. You feel like you don't get the effect of you getting the jump on people in that situation, which I think is shit.
Like, actually finding the physical high ground rather than building it is different. You play the game differently. But have you actually watched any competitive, like proper, like competitive Fortnite, Cap? Have you seen any?
Not in a while. I remember it used to be huge competitive Fortnite, but I feel like it's not really anymore.
So this is how the competitive games go, right? They start out with a massive big wide map and the squads stick together and basically camp and they get their materials. But then it gets down to this tiny little circle and literally you've got like all of the squads are still alive and they basically just stay in these little huts. And as the circle moves, they edit around and move up and down. And like, it's, oh man, it's just like,
Fucking boring.
Yeah. It's basically not a shooter, mate. It's like a building simulator and the shooting comes second to the building.
So, I'd rather watch my fucking grass grow than watch that.
Yeah. One thing I do want to bring up here, which is a potential issue of this mode staying in the game, Cap, is you're essentially splitting your player base in two. So what that means is when you're queuing for a game, if they introduce some kind of ranked into building mode or whatever it is, then your matchmaking, like depending on the size of your player base, but it might be harder to find matches. You might be matched with people that are on the same skill level as you or something like that. What do you reckon, mate? Like, remember we had those crazy issues getting into fucking Heroes of the Storm games, like because the lobbies, it's just shit. I don't know.
I can't see it being an issue. I think Fortnite's just too big for it to really be an issue for them to have many matchmaking problems. Also, you got to remember, like, Fortnite's not only just on PC; it's also on multiple different platforms. So, I mean, they've got a big pool of people to pull from to ensure that you don't run out of people to play a game with. I think, I tell you what, I do miss Heroes of the Storm. It's basically impossible to get a game in Australia. And that was a great game, in my opinion. Just from the pure standpoint, it was just a purely fun MOBA game. No bullshit. Just simplified, yes, but just fucking good fun.
One thing Fortnite also does is, which might work in its favor in terms of the whole matchmaking thing and making sure there's enough players for a game, is that it is very common to come across bots. They literally insert bots into the lobbies.
Yeah.
So
it makes you feel good, dude.
It does, man. Yeah, I think I got a win on my first day coming back in. That's because I was pretty much in a bot lobby. Just sniping people.
Did you see many... are you playing Elden Ring online?
No, I'm not playing Elden Ring online. Are you?
You're missing out. Yeah, I am. Well, I mean, in the sense that I can see messages and stuff.
Yeah, I haven't got PS Plus, mate, yet. Maybe I should.
Okay. Dude, you're kind of missing out on all the fucking message memes. And like there's one where it's literally just people are writing fort and then night. It's just like Fortnite just in the message system. I know it's fucking really stupid, but it's funny. It's fucking funny. And it's spelled like FORT and then NIGHT. It's just
That's how I fucking spelt that. Apparently our title was wrong on Twitch too. It's with Fortnite spelt wrong, so it's very relevant right now, Kat.
All according to plan. Thank you very much.
See, now we get viewers coming in here telling us that we spelled Fortnite wrong. It's all in here, pal. It's all about the marketing.
You know what the next big brain play is for the viewers? Is to get on the Twitter poll, Cap.
Absolutely.
This week
we held our first big Twitter poll that we're going to be talking about within the podcast. Now, Grizzo, give us a rundown of what we asked today.
The other day. Freaking remember, mate.
Right. I've got it right here, so I'm going to tell you, all right? So our weekly OGR poll was, you get to choose one of the following, okay? Now, people are saying Elden Ring's too hard and Kirby's too easy. So you had a choice of either an Elden Ring hard mode... No, easy mode. Sorry. All right, Kirby hard mode. And we had 16 votes. That's fucking huge. I didn't even think we'd get 3 votes, which would be us. I thought one of us would forget. And we had a 75% to the Kirby hard mode, which I'm fucking Kirby all about.
Dude, I voted Kirby hard mode. I've
get good or die trying. What did you vote for, Pav?
I also voted for Kirby hard mode. Dude, that game looks dope. A hard mode. I'm all for it.
Dude, I've honestly felt that way about Odyssey when I played it, Cap. Like, I just wanted the bosses just to clamp me a little bit more. But
So Pav, have you been playing it? Have you? No. Okay.
Not playing it. Just watched a bit of footage. Yeah. Looks great.
What's your? I've honestly seen nothing because I think I'm going to pick it up and try and play it fairly fresh. What's your just basic take on it?
All right. So. You've caught me in a lie. I have not played. I've not watched a lot. I've watched maybe one scene, but the vibe just looks good. I got no input here.
That's fine. All right. Sorry to incriminate you, motherfucker.
I watched Barb play, dude, and he had so much nice to say it. And Barb is the kind of person that will literally just shit on anything bad that he plays. So I trust Barb's opinion. He thought it was a fantastic game. He was like losing it laughing at some of the bosses.
Oh, really? And shit.
So, yeah, it looks really good, man.
Do you know, Grizz, this is something I wanted to talk to you about because I kind of feel like maybe it was just an Australian thing, but I really feel like Kirby didn't kick off much over here. You know, and I don't know whether maybe some of our American friends in the chat might be able to give us an idea, but I don't know how, like, I mean, everything was just so Mario-fied, you know what I mean, when it came to gaming. I think maybe in Japan they had quite a heavy, quite a big Kirby following. But I kind of feel like Kirby games that I've played in the past, I always just kind of felt like I didn't mesh with it very well. But it looks like this is quite amazing. The only
time I have ever played Kirby in any kind of video game is in Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And you could eat them and then poo them off the edge, same as Yoshi. Well, no, that's not Kirby. That was Yoshi, wasn't it? Anyway, you could eat them and get their abilities. But yeah, I'm with you, Cap. I don't quite understand it. Definitely isn't a nostalgic thing for me looking back on Kirby games.
Yeah, yep. I think I don't know. I think maybe it just wasn't marketed very well over here in Australia. Like, I think Legend of Zelda was really big, and I think Mario was really big, and there was a few other cracking games as well with like Sony and stuff. But I don't know. I think that this looks like a Mario Odyssey caliber release. Some of the stuff that Kirby can do now, like eats a fucking car and then becomes Carby, like that's ingenious. Who thought about that? That's sick. That's a great idea.
It's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's not even like he becomes the car. It's just like him with his mouth over the car and the car's still driving. It's just so good.
Yeah, UCAP, he'd be Curbton Perth.
Curbton Perth. Oh, God. That's disgusting.
I just want to reiterate here, guys, if you don't know what the fuck we're talking about in terms of this poll, please make sure you go follow us on Twitter. We'll be posting a poll roughly 24 hours out from the dedicated stream time, maybe longer if we're organized, but you can vote on that, comment on it, and we'll talk about it on stream as part of the quickfire.
So get in there and do that. Now, we are being told in chat that we missed a topic, which we absolutely did, and I noticed that we missed it, but it was only because Grizz skipped it. So the Halo TV show early review looks like 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, Grizzo. Not amazing.
Hey. Yeah. Yeah, and there's good and, well, like anything, Cap, there's good and bad reviews, but the one that I've linked you to here as part of this, and I'll just read the title of the review of this, and it goes like this. Halo joins the ranks of failed video game adaptations.
Yikes. Fucking brutal. That is brutal.
Have you seen any of it yet, Cap? Have you watched any clips or bits and pieces?
Look, no, I haven't, and I'm just going to read from the same article just a quick thing that I've just seen here. So this kind of filmmaking seems driven by the belief that gamers enjoy trashier stories, whatever the medium. Gamers, the logic goes, have lower standards than the average film aficionado, and don't want to be challenged. So I guess that kind of probably gives you a pretty good idea of what kind of story this is. It's probably fairly bare bones, just dumb action, boring. I know. It's interesting because I saw some initial reviews for the first episode of people saying, oh, this isn't too bad. But obviously people have watched more and been like, yeah, a bit fucking average. And you know what? Serves them right for showing Master Chief's face. Told them all along they should have done it. And look what's happened, mate. They got 60% of Rotten Tomatoes. They'll never fucking do it again, that's for sure. But there you go. I think we just wanted to touch base with that bit of a quick fire one there. But I guess let us know what you think about Halo if you got us on Twitter or whatever. Tweet at us and let us know what you think about the latest episodes. I haven't got Paramount Plus, so I haven't watched it yet, but I do intend to watch at least the first episode. So I'll give you my review once I get around to doing that. But
I just want to quickly call Deb out here. Said it was terribly mediocre. So there you go.
Oh, there you go. Well, I trust anything Deb says because I think Deb's a fucking legend. So there you go. That's the final word on Halo. Mediocre AF.
Do we have any quickfire music yet, Pav?
No, we need to get that together.
Not yet. Working on a few things. Working on a few things in the background.
Yeah, well, we'll get it's those, coming. We'll get it's the coming. Music coming. well, moving along into the quickfire stuff, Grizzly Gaming 86, the Ocarina of Time PC port is here. It has arrived.
Baby. So is this an official port, Cap? Like, how does this work? Is this someone just optimized it for PC to play?
Well, I believe that they've essentially pulled it completely. They've basically completely pulled the source code and created a full PC port, which is much different to emulation. Much different.
So, what do you end up playing with? No input lag and bits and pieces. Is it just nicer to play? Is that what happens?
Well,
when you
yeah, there's that. There's also the fact that when you load up this particular, and I'm just going to post this into the Twitch chat here. When you open up this particular news article I'm reading, there's an image of like The Legend of Zelda on an ultra 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 wide screen monitor, and it's this Link playing the ocarina in front of the castle, and it's just this huge massive monitor, and it looks sick. So the thing is, right, like,
oh wow, yeah, okay, I see what you mean.
I guess because it's not being emulated, there's no real restrictions to what it can do. And yeah, I'm guessing that there'll be lower input lag. You know, you can do widescreen stuff fairly easily. Yeah, it's now, pretty crazy.
I can't remember, but it was either this or Majora's Mask that are your favorite Zelda IPs of all time. Was it? Is it UET?
Probably for me, Majora's Mask.
There you go.
Or Twilight Princess.
So where do you – do we have any other details of where you can go to get hold of this bad boy? Is it just
– okay, so here's the kicker, right? Mm. You can download the source code and stuff from, I believe, the Discord server that they've been working out of. And you can also go and see the source code on GitHub. But you legally, for you to utilize this, you have to have a copy of the game. Which is always the way that you get around these things. Yeah. Yes, here is my copy. Same with within my home. Right here, sir. I swear. I swear it.
Excuse me, sir. Where's your TV license?
Yeah.
I haven't got a TV. I swear. It's pretty much the same fucking thing, right?
Essentially.
Yeah. You don't want to get in trouble with Nintendo, though, because I'm pretty sure that it's pretty serious.
No, that will fuck you up, pal. They will literally annihilate you. Actually, something cool about this, Grizz, is there's quite significant modding support for this. Basically, Ocarina of Time is written in the C language. So people will be able to add all kinds of stuff. So, for example, the Super Mario 64 port, people added like HD graphics, ray tracing, all this other shit.
Oh, dude, I've seen that. So
now, presumably, they'll be able to mod that in with this. So
absolutely, hell yeah,
which
dude.
Is pretty radical.
I'll
give it a crack, mate. I've got a legal copy of Ocarina of Time in this drawer over here, officer.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. Dude, they're not going to know what a legal copy of Ocarina of Time looks like. You could probably fucking draw on a piece of cardboard.
Yeah, just give them a USB drive. They're like, okay, mate, no worries, keep on playing. All right, moving along. New One Piece RPG called One Piece Odyssey has been announced, which is being created by the same developers of Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Now, Grizz, I know you're not a huge anime fan, but for a lot of people, this is fucking big, big, big dick energy news.
This is actually one of the animes that I did watch a very long time ago. I think I watched the first couple of seasons. Yeah, Luffy and all the fucking Luffy. Crazies. Luffy.
Luffy, Tabs literally is crying in the corner.
Oh, yeah, I enjoyed it, man. It's good. It's good.
Yeah, I think it's a great anime. It's a lot of good fun, and if you stick with it, like the story goes places that you know. It's quite great, but I think I'm guessing that they'll do the standard thing that they did with there was another one that was about gold. I can't remember what they called it, but Pav, can you remember what that other One Piece game was? It was like New World or some shit. There was another standalone RPG game, but essentially what I'm getting at is they'll probably make this game standalone story, I think. I don't know for sure. I'm not actually up to date with One Piece, so it's looking like there's going to be some new and old characters.
Look, he's got a
World
fucking,
Seeker, have a look at the Pav Pirate Blocks, King man. Edition. Have you ever played that, Pav, or have you just got it? He's not played
never
it.
Played it. Never played it.
So that was the last major one, was that World Seeker thing.
Yeah, right. So these are open world. They're kind of like Final Fantasy, like kind of like omnidirectional, go and kill this guy and do this. Is that what these are kind of like?
Fairly open world.
Dude, it looks pretty good, dude. Is this Bandai Namco as well, is it?
Yep, sure is, mate. Okay. So this should be as good as Elden Ring Elden Ring 2, One Piece edition. But yeah, I think it looks like it's fairly open world-ish to me. I don't know if they've done a media release. I haven't done an awful lot of research on this because it was just a quick fire topic, but yeah, it just looks like I think you can play most of the characters. They've got all their move sets, and you just fucking go ham and just have a good time, basically. So, standard freaking One Piece shit, dude. Okay, get around it. If you like One Piece, go and check it out. Now we've got this other one on here, and Grizz has just labeled it as "Bloke gets teabagged in Elden Ring," quite literally. I'm just gonna post this into the Twitch chat for people to have a bit of a look. basically it's a video of a dude having a battle with an enemy in Elden Ring, and then the enemy gets caught on some terrain and then just like does this real hard gyrating teabag into his head.
It's literally kills amazing. Him with the old teabag.
Yeah, it's quite impressive. But yeah, so I mean that did probably even need to be a topic, but I just think the teabag is just Cap,
we can't
so
go an episode without talking about Elden Ring, mate. It's just not allowed.
I'm sure this is going to be the case for some time to come. Mm-hmm. But yeah, now Grizz, I think to round out the episode, I'm going to leave this last topic to you, mate.
So, those of you who have been frequenting the stream, maybe on Twitch TV, you will have noticed there is a box above Pav, which says top secret on it. And top we are secret. Lucky enough that Pav is going to reveal to us what is in the box.
Well, I told you to put this on, but I completely forgot that we were doing this. Look, it has been a while coming. I've been working on something, and I've been wanting to show it to you guys. And I think this is the time.
Okay,
woo!
Let's check it out. All right, so Pav's going to go and grab the box for those.
You better
listening
trump
at home.
Your announcement, Cap. You fucking better.
Imagine if there's a baby in there.
It is well and truly being overhyped, but I hope you guys. Hope you guys like it. I've got two. I've actually got two things.
Like two boxes. What are you doing?
No, I got two things in here.
Oh. All right. So let's show us what's in the box. Top secret.
First one is for Grizz.
Oh.
What?
What do we got? Hey! Pav has just given us the finger live on air.
He's just giving me the bird.
That was just for the socials. Go check out the socials for that reaction. But
got him.
We got him. Holy shit, dude, that's awesome. Got that grizzly moment. But
the real one.
It's good.
Oh, what is that?
It is a prototype. A prototype.
Is that a prototype of an OGR shirt? Is that merch? Is that fucking merch, dude?
Oh,
that's
baby.
Fucking merch.
Prototype merch.
Prototype merch.
All right. Who in chat dude. Wants some freaking prototype merch?
How's that look? I will chuck this on in the post time chat, so we'll see how it looks. It's not quite perfect, but it is. It's happening. Sometime in the future.
That is tight as fuck. I'm keen on a freaking ogre shirt.
I'm pretty excited.
I would love an ogre shirt, Pat.
In episode 20, we'll probably get them. Let's.
hey, we're not far off that. You know, this is episode 10, isn't it? Is it 10?
It's a milestone, mate. Episode 10 today. That's a milestone, boys. Right. Very good. Very good. Nailed it.
Hell yeah. Well, guys, that pretty much wraps up our episode today. Been quite a. Quite a tumultuous episode. Lots of fun things
absolutely.
To talk about. Thank
yet.
You.
Congratulations,
absolutely.
Cap. I just want to
yeah, congratulations.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Big love to Mir as well, mate.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll pass it along. I'm looking forward to sending you the Twitch clip of you guys reacting to the baby announcement. but guys in chat and those listening at home, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast and, supporting us. You can find us live generally on Mondays. This week it was Wednesday because I just had shit going on. Normally every Monday, 7 p.m. AWST time, recording the episodes live from Twitch TV. Just go to Twitch TV and search up Oceanic Gaming Radio. Otherwise, go and follow us on Twitter and Facebook, I believe. Again, just search Oceanic Gaming Radio. You'll find us. And if you would like to monetarily support the podcast and help us pay for all the bits and pieces that we pay for subscription-wise for this podcasting effort, you can go and do so on Patreon. Just a big shout out to our Patreon. I'm a Sukai. He's a fucking legend. Appreciate him supporting this podcast quite generously. All the money goes back into the podcast to help us keep all the shit that we have to pay for ticking along. So thank you so freaking much for that. Moving forward, expect the next podcast next Monday again, back to regular schedule. It was only because I went away this weekend. It was just a bit hectic. So, other than that, also big shout out to our esports freaking gaming family, Ground Zero Gaming. Love and appreciate you guys, and thanks for supporting us as well, and putting all of our announcement posts and shit through the retweets and whatnot. And if you want to help support us, you can do the same. But yeah, appreciate you all. Thank you so much for being here, and good night.
Good night.
See you later, legends. Bye. Hey.